Hi everyone, my name is Mike Livermore. Welcome to episode 51 of the Magnify 'Em Together teen podcast series. This is the 9th episode of 9, so the final episode with me on the subject of classic lessons for modern challenges. In today's episode, I'd like for us to consider two more classic lessons that also apply to social media or the challenges that media might offer us in today's day and age, piggybacking off of episode 8. So let's first come to, for our first lesson, a phrase you've all heard of before and are familiar with, that of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, of course, being a very powerful factor in all of us at the beginning of our life as a believer, when we recognize God as being true and out there, our fear and recognition of Him as believers motivates us to repent and to change and to live a life as a believer that He would be pleased with. And hence why we have the fear of the Lord being described in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, as the beginning of wisdom. It really all begins with the fear of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6 says, "In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity, and by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil." So the fear of the Lord in our lives can be a powerful force to help us change our behavior, to depart from evil, and to do what God would have us to do. The fear of the Lord is a good thing. For example, in Acts chapter 9, verse 31, the story of the ecclesia here in Jerusalem in the early years, this verse reads, "Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied." So these ecclesias were helped by walking in the fear of the Lord. There's also a very powerful story for us in Acts chapter 5 of the contrast of the fear of the Lord versus the fear of something else. So Acts chapter 5 is, of course, the persecution of the early ecclesia. And Peter has this wonderful response to persecution in verse 29 when he says, "We ought to obey God rather than men." So here Peter was sort of being compelled or being threatened to stop preaching because the authorities didn't want him to do that. And he said, "Well, you know what? I'm gonna fear God first and foremost. I will obey Him over you." But of course, why did the authorities want him to not preach? Well, verse 26 of Acts chapter 5 says, "Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned." And it seems that the authorities at the time, they feared the people, and they were motivated by the fear of others, and that led to the persecution of Peter and others in the ecclesia at that time. And so we have here in this story a contrast of the fear of the people versus the fear of God. And of course, the example of Peter was that we fear God, and he was not going to be swayed by the fear of the people. He would rather obey God than man. But of course, in the Bible, there are examples of people who feared the people and chose that over the fear of God. In Luke chapter 20, verse 19, the opposition against Jesus. This verse reads, "And the chief priests and the scribes that very hour sought to lay hands on him, but they feared the people, for they knew he had spoken this parable against them." Luke chapter 22 and verse 2, it says, "And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people." So the chief priests and scribes here, they let their fear for the people, their consideration of the reaction of the crowds, was a terrible source of motivation in the choices they made and in their persecution, ultimately crucifixion of Christ. In the Old Testament, there's the interesting example of Saul, where after his grave mistake, where he spared King Agag and offered an offering in the place of Samuel, his response to Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 24 is this, "Then Saul said to Samuel, 'I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice.'" So here Saul gave in to the pressure of the people. He obeyed the people and feared them above the fear of the Lord. Grave mistake by Saul here. And so there's this classic lesson that I'm sure we all know before, that in our lives, we must choose to obey God rather than man. And we should let the fear of the Lord guide how we walk and live each day. And one classic example of this is, well, what about our conversations with coworkers or classmates or our friends? We shouldn't be afraid to talk about our beliefs. The fear of the Lord should override any social fears we have, and we should be open and feel encouraged to go out and talk about what we believe God's plan is for this world. We should not be afraid of other people such that we hide our beliefs. And we've all at times learned this lesson, maybe failed sometimes, but succeeded in other times. And it's something we've all learned to do, is to speak about our beliefs. But now in this modern world we live in the year 2020, we of course now have so much social interaction online. And we do so much talking and communicating via various social media platforms or via our tablets and devices. We now interact in a lot of different ways now with people. Do we, on our social media presences and our interaction, do we apply this principle there as well? Or do we let the fear of the people, in a figurative sense, guide our behavior online, on Twitter, on Facebook? Are we out there chasing likes and hearts or retweets or shares? Is that what is driving us in our online profile? Or are we truly obeying God rather than man? Are we truly representing our fear of the Lord? And are we truly representing our beliefs in our interactions online? Or are we chasing what people want us to do? Are we chasing the attention? Are we chasing the crowd? Chasing the likes? Are we, so to speak, fearing the people more than obeying what God would have us to do? And so this becomes a question of, what things are we sharing? What kind of content are we posting? What are we putting out there? Is it to receive attention, to receive support, to receive likes, to receive that kind of thing? Is that what drives us? Or are we truly seeking to uphold our beliefs and our online behavior? This relates to our second lesson. Think of the story of 1 Corinthians chapter 8, where the ecclesia at that time had some believers who are struggling with this idea of meat offered to idols. And even though many, and most in fact, probably knew that a meat offered to idols meant nothing, you know, who cares, we're just eating meat, but nonetheless, there were some who were really struggling with it and could not get over it. And if they saw someone eating meat offered to idols, it became a stumbling block to them. And the Apostle Paul addresses it. And I think that the key phrase to take away from this discussion is, when it comes to something another brother or sister in Christ is struggling with, if we present a stumbling block to them, here's the phrase from verse 11 of 1 Corinthians chapter 8. "And because of your knowledge, shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died?" So the question we have to ask ourselves is, something we're doing because, you know, we're okay with it. You know, our knowledge tells us that, you know, it's fine for me. I can do this or that. But what if someone else who is weak and struggling sees that or is a part of it or whatever it may be, and this is someone for whom Christ died, they might fall away. They may stumble and fall. Someone for whom Christ died, we put into a difficult spot. We tripped them up. It's a really difficult question that we all have to ask ourselves. Is in our lives, you know, because the application for us is not meat offered to idols. That's a long gone part of society. But what are things that we do now that might trip up someone in the similar fashion for whom Christ died? And perhaps, again, it comes back to social media. And again, are things that we're posting, things that we're sharing, things that we're tweeting, whatever it may be, are these things going to be beneficial to other people? Is it going to maybe at times not be? Is it going to trip someone up? be a temptation for someone else? Will a debate online discourage someone? Someone reads it who wasn't even a part of it and kind of quits and gives up, and the negativity can overwhelm people. Social media really affects a lot of people and is a daily part of a lot of people's lives. And we need to apply these lessons from Scripture into the things that we do on social media to be careful to not trip up other people, our brothers and sisters in Christ who are on that medium or on that forum, and also check the things that we do online, whether we're choosing to follow the fear of God or the fear of the people. And so to conclude this podcast, I have perhaps just a few practical suggestions of things to ask or guidelines for how to interact and behave online on social media. If we're going to post something, let's ask these questions. How will this post impact others? Will this cause growth, or will it cause someone to stumble? If we're going to share something, perhaps on Facebook or retweet something, let's ask, is this sound doctrine? Will this edify? And is this speaking the truth in love, to hearken back to our podcast on speech? If we're going to like something or heart something, let's ask, is this like approving of immoral behavior? By supporting or hearting or liking this picture or this event or whatever it may be, am I enabling someone who's struggling with wrong behavior? Am I supporting something where perhaps I should be pulling someone out of the fire, to hearken back to our earlier class on social media? And if we're going to comment and have discussion and talk about things online, let's consider the classic phrase of a soft answer turns away wrath, and ask ourselves if what we're posting truly is a soft answer that will turn away wrath, or are we inciting more and more negativity online which can discourage others? Is there a better medium for us to reach out and discuss the issue at hand? I think social media is not going anywhere. It's going to be an ever-present part of the lives of believers until Christ returns. We can choose to not be a part of it. Some of us are already a part of it, and I suspect it will be around for forever until Christ comes back and ends this silliness. But if we're going to be a part of it and participate and be online and in these forums and on these mediums, Twitter, Snapchat, Facebook, Instagram, whatever it will be, you know, 10 years from now, who knows? Let's ask ourselves these questions and think, how can we truly be believers, represent our faith, represent ourselves as disciples of Christ in these avenues? I think it's absolutely worth considering, and something that all of us as believers have a responsibility to address in our lives. It's a real challenge. We should not pretend like social media is all butterflies and happiness and it's all wonderful. It can be a very dangerous, negative place. And it's a challenge we should address and admit that it's out there and not choose to ignore it. We all, I think, need to address how much time we spend on social media and the things that we say and do and post, because we represent Christ and the fear of God should be a part of our lives every day. So I hate to sound negative in this last one, but I think it's a very stark challenge for all of us to face. Hopefully everyone who's listened to this podcast series has benefited from at least one or two, or if hopefully more, of these podcast sessions. It's been tremendously transformative in my life, helped me rethink a lot of areas where I was slipping or I was ignorant of a challenge. A second thought, a second perspective on our behavior online, the things we do with technology, I think is beneficial to all of us. Whatever you may agree or disagree with some of the application of these principles in your life, I would just say, please at least consider and think for a second time about our behavior, the things we're doing with technology, with cell phones, our devices, the internet, social media. I think it's worth all of us re-examining what we're doing with our lives on this issue. Are we setting a good example for our young people, for each other, and are we encouraging each other in this matter? Let's support each other and help each other in these last days. We have new challenges, and I'm sure more are coming until Christ returns. So let's help each other and care for each other and show compassion and support our ecclesias until Christ comes back to bring about drastic changes with this world. May he come soon. Thank you very much for listening, and have a good day. Thank you.